Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, presented by Jewstool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Armour. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, I'm not. Yeah. No, he's got to show up. He's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 hit.
I can do vision.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm at breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I think I'm right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the
crazy
full package.
No way.
Speed.
I don't care. No way. I can't even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy defining plays. 13 seconds. And you get the ball in field goal range. That is absolutely insane.
I'm going to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
Lawrence and Tyra. All right. Lawrence and Tyra, 3-2. All right, guys, let's get back to it. It's been a long time. It's been enough. I think we are all braked out, right? It's time to get back, Meisty. There's been so much going on. I think last time we had a podcast was week two. I mean, how much has happened since then, right? We had our week one overreactions, and then we had our week two overreactions, and we've had over a month, you know, for the holidays, we've had quite a break here, Meisty. So how are you? How is your holidays? How are you enjoying football season, your time off? How's everything been going with you?
Yeah, vacation has been fantastic. Not that I wanted to be on a vacation, but, you know, here we're back. This is where we're at. This is what it's about. And I'm excited to be back, that's for sure.
Yeah, agreed. Vacation is needed, but it's not necessarily. Some people are workaholics. Some people like to work all the time, so they don't necessarily like to go on vacation. They just go on vacation because they have to. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it is. So that's really what we love to work all the time. We just do it because we have to for our mental well-being. You know what I'm saying?
Rocky, this is what I use Morty for. Morty's like, "Okay, vacation, January 3rd. Okay, you're coming. Okay, thank you. You need it."
By the way, vacation next week. I'm coming, okay? You better make your schedule
ready.
Available. Better make your schedule. November, October, whatever it is.
Party, it was just off for like 2 weeks.
Just off to get here. Yeah, two at least, right? Okay, more vacation, the more the merrier. No, I'm kidding. We love the podcast here. We really do. We enjoy it very much. Just sometimes life gets in the way. So we're very excited to talk some football here because there's a lot to talk about. And I think, you know, we really have to catch up on a lot of things that have been going on last week. Although it was an exciting weekend in football in week 7. Are we in week 7 already? Unbelievable. Week 7, right? Week 7? Week 7. Yeah. Week 7. It's been very exciting. There's still one more game to go. Bears, Patriots. But nonetheless, we want to catch up on a few things that have been going on throughout the scope of the season. First, I want to talk about a couple things specific to last week. Number one, Joe Burrow showing up and Ja'Marr Chase just absolutely tearing apart opposing secondaries. And by the way, we know the duo as Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but that was not what it was, Meisty, yesterday. It was Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. And if I recall someone saying before the season that Tyler Boyd was a good underrated fantasy player, but not the flaunt or anything.
I don't know who said that.
I'm not sure who said that. You know, it must have been a very wise man, you know, someone that clearly knows what they're talking about in terms of fantasy football. But no, in all seriousness, Joe Burrow finally came to play yesterday. It was his highest graded game of the season, according to PFF, by far. And he's now slid his way into the seventh highest rated quarterback in the league. But that's only because one game can sway things, right? It's still 7 games. It's still a relatively small sample size. So one game can jump you up 5 or 6 spots. I'm not sure exactly where he was last week. Point being, Joe Burrow has now cemented himself as like a top 10 quarterback this year so far. And we had all these concerns about the Bengals, all these concerns, the big plays aren't there anymore, certainly throughout the first half of the season. Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase will have his big plays every once in a while, but the consistency isn't there, the running game isn't working. But now all of a sudden you're saying, wait a second, the defense is a little better, right? This was the best game in terms of pass blocking that they've had the entire season. Maybe the offensive line will start to improve so long as they gel together. Maybe now the offensive, the big plays will be there on offense, Meisty. What do you think about the Bengals finally becoming the Cincinnati Bengals that we know and love, according to some. I don't know if you love them so much. No, you do love the Bengals.
Are you overhyping the Cincinnati Bengals because they beat the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Whoa, such a good job. You beat the... It's the Atlanta Falcons! I think I could put a team of Freedmans together and go out there and beat them, okay? So you're just sitting there like, whoa, what are you... Dude, you didn't just have one guy go for off. Like, I understand when one receiver tears apart a team. That's great. The whole team tore apart them. It wasn't just like, oh, he had such a good game, Joe Burrow. Yeah, he had a nice game. But at the end of the day, you had two receivers go for 100 yards. You had two touchdowns to Jamar Chase. I mean, you had bombs, a 60-yard bomb, a 41-yard bomb. Even T. Higgins caught a 25-yard catch. Joe Mixon caught a 22-yard catch. At the end of the day, you're sitting here saying, oh, it's so bad. The Bengals are back. They're not back. They just got crushed by the Ravens. They wasn't crushed because the Ravens fourth quarters. But at the end of the day, you're sitting here overhyping a team that's very good. They're not back. Their defense, their offensive line is still awful, okay? They still need to figure it out. And, yeah, they went against the Atlanta Falcons. Who does the Atlanta Falcons even have that's available on their defense? I couldn't even name you one defender on their team.
The Falcons are currently tied for first place in their division. I'm just saying, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the almighty Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're 3-4, Rocky.
Tied at first place in the division. At 3-4.
Rocky, don't tell Rocky we had Luke. Rocky, that's not that. Rocky, that means this. That means this. This. 0.0. Actually, negative 66.
So let me say, yes, it's true that the Bengals every once in a while have these games where, like, big plays left and right, like you're saying. That happens. And now all of a sudden Jamar Chase goes off for over 100 yards and Tyler Boyd goes off for over 100 yards and big plays left and right. That's really what it was a matter of, right? And Joe Burrow played absolutely fantastic. So I'm not necessarily putting so much into 1 week because defenses, sometimes it takes them a little time throughout the course of a game. Maybe sometimes you see Jamar Chase a few times, then you start to get to know him. That's why the Ravens did a good job containing him last week, right? Because they've gotten to know this guy. He's torched them a couple times. Finally, they got to know him a little. They did a great job against that Bengals receiving corps. So sometimes it just takes time to get to know and to familiarize one.
Rocky, I'm cutting you off real quick. You don't have to get to know a guy. There's enough film on every human being. We were just talking.
You only have a week to prepare. You only have a week to prepare for them, Meisty. That's not very much. It's 6 days.
The Bengals, your whole offseason that you played against the Bengals.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You think more about the Bengals or about the Steelers or Browns, but not the Steelers and Browns, but more about the Bengals than you do about any other team. Who are you going to play? Yes, you do. You play.
If you're in the Falcons playing in the NFC, you pay the Bengals once every 4 years, twice every 4 years at most. If you have to know, my point is you don't really watch film on the Bengals at all, other than 5 days the 5 days prior to playing them. It's not there's film that's great. There's film, but you don't spend that much time scheming for them. At the end of the day, Jamar Chase requires attention, and Joe Burrow and that offense requires attention. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're able to give them that attention in that amount of days, which is why a lot of teams that aren't familiar with the Bengals struggle with them. But the teams that become more familiar with them start to get to know them a little. Doesn't necessarily mean they can't play well against them, but they start to have more success containing them than containing the big plays. That's the bottom line.
If you don't think there's an analyst that's like weeks of film ahead and he's planning how to stop certain guys circled on his calendar? I mean, you're going to sit here and tell me there's not an employee... You're sitting here saying that you're sitting here sounding naive that like, oh, they've never seen it's 1957 and the only film we have is a black and white film from the only first week in film history. So that's and it didn't come in the mail on the Pony Express. That's what you make it sound like. Today we have millions of videos, angles of films. You know this, you know PFF. The PFF has access to this. Every angle of every play, right? You don't miss a moment. There's enough evidence for everything. So
you can have all the content available, but the time is not there. You can't do that much in a few days. You just can't.
You're talking about name me one defender on the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay, look at Terrell. Now look at Terrell. So the last 2 weeks, they played the Falcons and the Saints. And those were Joe Burrow. Did you think I wouldn't know a defender on the Falcons?
No, I didn't even.
What?
You're good. Keep going. Yes.
And so the last 2 weeks, they played the Falcons and the Saints. And those were Joe Burrow's two best games of the season. I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's back. I'm not saying the Bengals are back because I do think that every once in a while, Jamar Chase has these breakout games, and Joe Burrow looks like Joe Cool again, and this, that. But I am saying the last 2 weeks he started to creep, you know, get a little better. That offensive line starting to creep a little more toward average. It's not there yet. It's still really bad. Don't get me wrong. But it's getting the pass blocking's been a little better. The last 2 weeks he has 5 big time throws, no turnover worthy plays, not putting the ball in harm's way like he was in the early part of the season. Still those big time throws are there. So I'm liking the direction he's going in. Now I don't think the Bengals are better than the Ravens. I don't think that's true, but I do think that it'll be them and the Ravens competing for the division come the end of the year. Again, they're 4-3. They're tied with the Ravens at the top of the division. The other two teams in the division don't look very promising. They're solid teams, the Steelers and the Browns, but it's just not, don't look like they're going to be real competitors. So at the end of the day, all they're competing with is the Ravens. They win that second game against the Ravens, win a few games here that they can steal. They don't have such a difficult schedule. They can win the division. It's not the craziest thing to say in the world.
The Ravens with the Ravens struggles, it's not the craziest thing, but it's not going to be an easy one. Not like easy like last year. And, I mean, the Bengals aren't a bad team. They have the players. The talent is clearly there. They brought in free agents to help them with their exact issues that they were having. So, yes, if it all clicks together, yes, they should be able to be back in the playoffs, easily back in the playoffs. Hopefully there's a wild card team.
Okay, let's move on to one more headline, then we'll get to the surprising, disappointing news. I'm excited for that segment. I got some good stuff for you there. I just want to talk about the Cards for a second, the Arizona Cardinals for a second. Nuke Hopkins comes back. It looks like a completely different offense. Now, I came out before the season and said Kyler Murray was my dark horse MVP candidate. Granted, that's not looking very good right now. He has not been having the best of years. And Meisty was on the road. By the way, I got to give you credit for two things, Meisty. Number one, the Vikings winning the division, but we'll get to that soon. And number two, you did not like my Kyler Murray pick for MVP. And so far, rightfully so. He has not been a great quarterback. According to PFF, he hasn't had a single game graded over 75, a single passing grade over 75, which is not good. Not good at all.
It's awful.
Now, his best game so far this season was Thursday night against the Saints. Nuke Hopkins comes back. All of a sudden, he has that weapon, even without Hollywood Brown. You know, you bring Hollywood Brown back in, all of a sudden you have Nuke Hopkins and Hollywood Brown on the outside, both good, complete receivers. Hollywood Brown could beat a guy down the field. Nuke Hopkins is sort of do a little of everything. Zach Ertz has been a good weapon in the middle of the field there. I'm telling you, I still like the direction that this team is going. I still think that they're going to be a competitive team, especially in a division where the Seahawks are in first place right now, Meisty. I mean, Geno Smith-led Seahawks are in first place in that division. Granted, Geno Smith's been playing out of his mind. Don't get me wrong. But it's still, he's been outplaying everyone in that division. Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray. Who, if I would have told you before the season, you got Matthew Stafford, you got Kyler Murray, and you got, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, and Geno Smith is outplaying everyone in that division. Well, that's exactly what's happening this year, Meisty. That's exactly what's happening this year. Anyway, point being that I like the direction that the Cardinals are going in. You bring Nuke Hopkins back, game changer. Hollywood Brown, I do think they're going to get a little better. That's it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, let me hit you with this real quick. Let's go through the Saints wins this year. The Falcons by one in week one. Wow! Right? And their only other win, they beat the Seahawks. Okay, and in a crazy game, that was a crazy game, a crazy ending. But at the end of the day, once again, Rocky, you're on the same boat. A team with a lot of talent, playing a team that's absolutely awful. Of course they're going to win.
Why are the Saints awful? Who said they're awful?
The team that can't beat a really bad team is the Ravens because they can't get nice things. Okay, so at the end of the day, we could sit here and say all we want, but I'm not sold on the Cardinals. I think that with Nuke back, it changes a lot, obviously. But I mean, he was always projected to be back. So what changes? I mean, like, yes, they should be getting better, but like, okay, Kyler Murray's still an issue. As long as Call of Duty is out, the guy's not going to play well.
No, I agree. I'm not suggesting that the Cardinals are Super Bowl contenders. I'm just suggesting that in a division where Geno Smith is clearly taking over, with Nuke Hopkins, who's one of the best receivers in football, and if I quote you, when we had a podcast about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, talking about how great Gronk was, and I made a bold statement, and I said Gronk is the best receiver of his era. So the 7 years he played, and you went nuts on me. It was hilarious. You went bonkers on me. And you said Nuke Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL. And I said, that's correct. Nuke Hopkins is the best receiver right now. I was talking about the last 7 years. But anyway, so we were both in agreement at that point, 2019, that Nuke Hopkins was the best receiver in football. This is 3 years ago, Meisty. 3 years ago. Man's not very old. So that's a big factor. You get a guy like that back, they can easily be contenders, Meisty.
Okay, time out. Geno Smith is out playing this year. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, okay, and the likes. Okay, no, I'm not trying to say. You're sitting here and saying, like, oh, well, Geno Smith is outplaying everyone. Okay, Geno Smith is, what, 4-3 on the year? Geno Smith is not anything special. Geno Smith isn't 5-2, right? Geno Smith isn't special. The Seahawks aren't special, right? But the Seahawks in general, yeah, they're good, but they're not good. I shouldn't say that. They're winning their division. Okay, look at the rest of the NFL. Everyone sucks this year. We literally spoke about it earlier today. You said
that's my point.
That what is it? What, Rocky? What was the number? 33% or 22%?
Oh, the stat fantasy stat we had this.
Fantasy numbers are down over 20+%.
22% or something.
22+%. Touchdown. And we were all hyped for this. Super. Now, Rocky, I have someone sitting here in the room with me, okay, who has a tape.
Someone correcting you, right? You got the.
No, not correcting.
No,
I'm kidding.
He's saying something about the Seahawks. He has a take, and the reason why the Seahawks are good.
What's your take?
Oh, we're going to bring him in. We're bringing him in.
It's a Pete Carroll system. The reason that the Seahawks are doing well right now, the reason that Geno Smith is outplaying some of the biggest names in the NFL right now is because of Pete Carroll. And as you see with Russell Wilson, what has Russell Wilson done ever since leaving the Seahawks so far? He has done absolutely nothing. Doggy doo-doo. Right? He's done absolutely nothing. And look at what Pete Carroll has turned Geno Smith into. He's turned Geno Smith into a top 15 quarterback in the NFL who was a totally forgotten name for the past 7 years. To say that the Cardinals have a chance in a division where Geno Smith is currently leading the division, I think it's kind of crazy to say, just because Geno Smith, because Pete Carroll has that system down, and Geno Smith is clearly doing very well in that system, and he's just tearing it up. And I personally, this is just like my own thing, I think Kyler Murray is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. The fact that he got paid, what, $230 million?
Rocky will agree with not paying anyone. Rocky thinks you shouldn't pay anyone.
Crazy. The fact
if you're Patrick Mahomes. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes.
Unless you're Patrick Mahomes. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Right. You don't deserve that money. Unless you have one of those two names, you don't deserve that money.
Correct.
And if you do, but...
Yeah, so I mean, listen, at the end of the day, yeah, I think the Pete Carroll system could have something to do with it. I'm willing to accept that, but you have to look. Geno Smith's been a career backup. He's never been good in this league in his entire career. He doesn't just come in. He's the fourth highest rated quarterback in the league, according to PFF. He has 13 big time throws this year. You don't just come in and all of a sudden become this incredible top five quarterback from nothing. He's thrown the ball really well. It's not, I mean, Pete Carroll could have something to do with that. I'm not saying he doesn't, but he's literally been a career backup. He's been awful his entire career. He's been a bottom 10 quarterback whenever he's on the field. So you have to give credit to him. And at the end of the day, with that being said, the fact that he has been a bottom 5 quarterback and bottom 10 quarterback his entire career, can you really expect this to sustain itself throughout the rest of the season? Maybe it will, but I can't expect that. I'm not going to expect that.
Super Bowl contenders? No.
To win the division, you're going to expect Geno Smith to play at this level for the last 11 games of the season?
Doesn't need to.
Why does he need to? The Seahawks are only winning because Geno Smith is playing as well as he is. They're not winning because of anything else. They don't have a lot of talent on defense. They have two great receivers.
About,
it's true. They don't have a lot of
talent. That just rushed for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns last
Yeah, it's true. The run blocking has been great, but at the end, But at the end of the day, they're 4-3 because Geno Smith has been a top 5 quarterback in football. So the run blocking has been getting a little better. These things are great, but you have a quarterback playing at that level. That's why you're winning football games. I just can't see him sustaining this level of play throughout the rest of the season. That's it. I mean, I guess we'll see. I guess only time will tell at the end of the day.
The Arizona Cardinals could definitely win the division. I'm not taking them out of the race. But just saying, the Seahawks is our team.
I hear you. Listen, I guess time will tell. Time will tell who is.
Don't sleep on
right.
Seattle.
Well, you're saying I shouldn't sleep on that.
The bottom line right now, a lot of it comes out to whatever happens with DK at the end of the day. If DK is out, that could really hurt them. But
already went.
In fact,
all right, but it's.
It'll be fine.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's go to the. So now that we've missed a bunch of weeks worth of content, we have a lot of content to discuss. So there's been some really surprising teams this year, Meisty. I mean, starting in the Big Apple, you got to start right there, right? Because both those teams, I mean, not really in the Big Apple in the Meadowlands, but New York Jets, New York Giants, both those teams, it makes absolutely no sense what's going on right now. I want to start with the Giants for a second. They are definitely the most surprising team in football. 6-1. We looked at them before the season. What was their over-under? 7? I think their over-under was 7. I might have to fact check that. We were all like, 7 wins? The Giants are going to win 7 games? Are you crazy? They are 7 weeks into the season, and they have 6 wins already. It makes no sense, Meisty. And is Daniel Jones playing out of his mind? No, it's not like the Seahawks situation with Geno Smith. He's not playing that great. He's playing decent football. The run game is playing well. The defense is sort of doing their job. They've got, you know, they've had some easy games in the schedule, but then all of a sudden they come to the Packers and the Ravens, and they beat their Packers and the Ravens with some late game comebacks. Like, you know, how do you explain the Giants at 6-1?
Rocky, would you say they're over under for winter? Sorry, Meisty. Would you say
was that, it 7?
7.5.
7.5. 7.5.
Okay, you know what? No prediction. We're not even going to get there. Okay, number two. So they won't even get to 7.5 wins, okay? Number two.
No, that's
too bold. That's Meisty's too bold predictions.
Yeah, that's too bold.
But let's be real. You're talking about the Packers? The Packers have just lost to the team without a name?
We'll get to the Packers. We'll get right. No, but you're saying it's not such a big win.
Let's go through the Giants, the team that beat the Titans that happened to now play good in week one. I like talking about the Titans, and we'll get to that later. The Panthers, who suck, the Cowboys, they beat the Cowboys actually beat them. The Cowboys. Who would have thought that they'll beat the Bears? Who are the Bears? They don't even have a quarterback. The Packers and the Ravens, who have fourth quarter blunders. And they beat the Jaguars with the worst quarterback in NFL history. So where are we impressed about the Giants here? That they're putting up numbers? Okay. It's impressive. Saquon Barkley's running his tushy off. Okay. But when Saquon Barkley's ACL tears, what happens then? Because every other team, when they're running back, the next guy steps up and plays well. But the bottom line is that Saquon Barkley is playing like absolute like an animal. But until he can't play like an animal... And just like what happened in the Cowboys game, he didn't show up, and the Cowboys beat them, right? So here we are. They have a nice record, but so did the Steelers in whatever that year was, and they went 11-0, and they were the worst 11-0 team in history, right? So it's nice and all, but there are other teams that I'm way more impressed with for being 6-1. And if you want to touch on those, I can guarantee I mean the Jets. I mean, what the Jets are doing? I know, even with Breece Hall injury, what the Jets are doing?
Meisty.
Zach Wilson?
Would you say that the Seahawks are the best worst team?
The Steelers were the best, the worst. Who?
No, the Seahawks this season. They're the best worst team.
No, the Giants are the best worst team.
No, so I'll tell you, in terms of record...
Rocky, who do you think is the best worst team in the NFL?
So I was going to say, in terms of record, Meisty, you and I are on the same page. I don't think the Giants are good. I think they've ran into a string of easy games. That win against the Ravens was impressive. That was the best they've looked the entire season, I will say. You have to give that to them. I know the Ravens have had late-game blunders, but late-game blunders to the two most prolific offenses in football, not to the New York Giants. But the Giants still have the 30th-ranked defense in the league. They still have the outside top 10 in offensive line ratings, according to PFF. Like, they're not really anything impressive. Daniel Jones is still not a top 10 quarterback. It's not like he's doing anything great. I don't like their roster as a whole. They say they're playing hard for the new head coach. Okay, fine. That could be true. But I don't see this being sustained throughout the rest of the season either. I agree. I don't think – there's not a lot of talent on the roster. There's not a lot to be sustained. But listen, they did finish in last place last year, and they're in not such a great division. I mean, the records sort of indicate otherwise. But they're not in such a great division, and they could have a chance to win a few more games. Like, they could win 9 games this year. You know, all they have to do is win 3 out of the last whatever games, 11 games.
Yeah.
You know, 10 games.
I mean, it sucks that in past years that division for 9 wins gets you the division. This year, because of my... Oh, that's who I'm a big fan of, too. I'm a big Eagles fan, too.
Oh, but all they have to do is win 3 games, Meisty. And they're above 500, and there's 10 games left. Like, I don't think they're that great, but they've sort of put themselves in quite an advantage here, being 6-1. Wins do matter.
I'll tell you this, right? In their upcoming games, the only team that has a chance of that will beat them are the Eagles, maybe the Vikings, maybe the Cowboys, if the Cowboys want to see it. This week against Seattle, the bottom line is the Giants have the easiest schedule. If they don't get to 10 wins, then that's an issue. I mean, I don't know. You know what? The truth is, prior to the season, if I was looking at the schedule now and saying, well, oh, wow, this is the easiest schedule. I didn't know that. I mean, I just ignored the Giants. I was just like, well, they suck. But
correct. Overall, that's what we all did.
They played some bad teams. Awful teams.
I agree. But you touched on the New York Jets, and I want to know, why do you think what the Jets is doing is more impressive than what the Giants are doing? That's my question.
So, first of all, you started the season with...
Did we lose him?
With Joe Flacco. Started the season with Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you got, I know Joe Flacco had a crazy, right? And he went, what was his final record at the end? 2-1? 1-2?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was 1-2. I mean, they beat the Browns, the last crazy comeback at the end over there.
Right. But a win's a win, right?
But,
for Joe Flacco. So at the end of the day, right, they went 1-2 with Joe Flacco. And since Zach Wilson has come back, they've not lost. They've not looked back. I mean, they went. The Steelers were okay. The Dolphins, they ran over the Dolphins. I don't remember if Tua was in or out. I don't even know. Right?
Tua didn't play that game.
Okay.
He got injured. I think that.
Over the Packers.
Oh, he got injured.
You're right. It's not like the most impressive of wins, but the fact is that they went from being the Jets, Jets, right? Who are just like awful, this awful team. No, literally, just like a laughing stock of the NFL. Literally a laughing stock. Right? This is actually a serious team. Beyond that, I also think they have really good players. They have underrated defense. They may have one of the most underrated defensive linemen, okay, in Williams. They have the best, if not the, he might, at the end of his career, be the greatest cornerback to ever step foot on the field, literally. Right? I mean, that's where I see him. If you said to me, any player coming out of college, give me the guarantee that this guy will be that guy. I would say to you, Sauce Gardner is that guy. I just watched with Gershon, right, over 45 minutes of Sauce Gardner highlights. Let me tell you something. We were just like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Every step he makes, every move, every this, so their defense is good. Their offense is clearly good with Zach Wilson. And yes, they have the Breece Hall injury. So that needs to be figured out. So will they trade for a guy like Kareem Hunt? Will they make a trade for... Will they just ride with Michael Carter, who's very talented, right? And should be able to get to the same level. Because, Rocky, this is your take on running backs. It's all about the offensive line, right? And the offensive line is clicking. So, yes, the holes are there. But Breece Hall gets the holes. Will Michael Carter get the same holes? He should. Nothing should change there. So that's why I don't worry so much about the Jets. But what the Jets are doing to me is way more impressive because if Zach Wilson, they're undefeated. They've just been steamrolling. They're not slowing down. Yes, they played some not great teams, but they're steamrolling teams. They're just done.
Yeah, I just
neither.
Sauce Gardner has allowed one touchdown the entire season so far, and he's being targeted heavily. You know, so he's allowed four receptions in multiple games.
Rocky, one touchdown, Rocky. That's the first touchdown of his career.
The only one.
High school, college, NFL, one touchdown that man allowed.
And that was in week two. Since week two, he hasn't allowed a single touchdown. So, I mean, the man is shutting down his side of the field. There's no question about it. That defense is fantastic. Also, DJ Reed, the other cornerback, has been one of the top 10 quarterbacks for football this year. The Jets have the second-ranked defense in the league. It's very underrated. The Jets' defense is fantastic. But their offense is not. You know what I'm saying? So the running game can get going. Even Breece Hall's injury, correct, like you said, good offensive line, good run blocking, that can help them. The passing game is just, you know, it's not very prolific. It's not like they have... Garrett Wilson's a cool gadget player, but it seemed like he meshed better with Joe Flacco than Zach Wilson, because suddenly Zach Wilson comes in and they don't utilize him so much. But just from that defense, the Jets are all of a sudden 5-2, and the Jets are all of a sudden on a four-game winning streak, and suddenly, you know, you have them, you know, like the Patriots aren't looking very good this year, even when Mac Jones was in there. You know, you have them, like the AFC is like suddenly not as good as we think it is. They're not going to make the playoffs, don't get me wrong. But, like, all of a sudden, they can win a few games here. And it's an interesting proposition.
Rocky, we know this in history. And this year, we were private messaging this earlier today. But defense wins championships, period. That's, like, the statement. That's the bold, right? Everyone agrees. There's no arguing on defensive wins championships. So
I argue.
No. Nowadays, in today's NFL, yes, maybe it's a little different.
Right. But yes, back in the day, right?
Back in the day, yeah. Hold on, I have to.
Now we don't see you at all, my
Steve. Yeah, hold on, I have to turn the light on.
Pause for the technical difficulties.
Ah, there's your. There it is.
Yeah, sorry. So back in the day, right? The defense won championships. Now NFL is a little bit more offensive, and offense wins the championship, maybe. But this year, it doesn't seem like offense is getting going. And as of things are going right now, defense will come into a huge play. Regardless, in the playoffs of the Super Bowl, defense makes the big play. Because if two quarterbacks are going after this, Eagles Super Bowl is a big proof to this. Eagles and Patriots and Brady and Foles were going toe-to-toe, literally 500 yards apiece, going toe-to-toe, right? Yeah. And what happened? Defense made the big play. At the end of the day, you need a defense to make the big play, right? And the Jets are out here.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, you have guys like Quinnen Williams on the line, right, who has 5 sacks. You have Carl Lawson with 3 sacks. So you have guys on your defensive line who are making plays. Your quarterbacks are literally locked down. You have a guy that is Revis Island on steroids, and you have a guy who's just as good, if not as, you know what I'm saying? So you have everything you need on your defense. And thanks to the Ravens gifted them a very good linebacker. So, now it seems like they have everything they need. Their offense just stays clicking and puts up points, enough points. Their defense should be able to make enough stops and keep the scoring low. And that's why I'm more impressed with the Jets than the Giants.
I'll take that. I'll take that assessment. One more surprising team. We talked about the Seahawks, but the Seahawks would be my also. I mean, you have a backup quarterback going in there and just playing lights out, whether it's a Pete Carroll system, whether it's not. Russell Wilson did not play well last year at all. After the finger injury, he did not rebound from it. And down the stretch of the season, even with the Seahawks, with Metcalf, with Lockett, with all those pieces in there, with Pete Carroll, did not play well. So Russell Wilson seems to be on a decline as an individual player, not necessarily within a system. Geno Smith comes in there, and, you know, we think Seattle's tanking, right? We think it's, like, not tanking, but we think it's a rebuild year, right? They're rebuilding in Seattle. All of a sudden, they're first place in the division, and now I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but Geno Smith is playing, like, one of the best quarterbacks in football. Like, if theoretically, which, again, I already stated that I don't think that's going to be the case, but if theoretically he were to sustain this level of play for the rest of the season, they could easily make the playoffs, Meisty. I mean, he is playing unbelievable. So I think the Seahawks are definitely, we discussed them enough, the Seahawks would be my last surprising team, if you want to add one more.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, if I was the Seahawks management, I wouldn't be super happy about this year. Like, it's nice and all to be in first place. It's nice and all to be playing well. But, like, your goal is to rebuild. Let's be real. They weren't out here trying to win. So, all right, so the management is sitting there saying, oh, my God, we're going to actually have a good season, not win the Super Bowl, get a bad draft pick, and we're going to be a mediocre team. So from the management perspective, this is awful. Now, in general, though, it's very interesting what's happening in Seattle to me.
Yeah.
It's not like they're super impressive. They're not 5-2. They're not 6-1. Right, they're 5-3.
They're not 6-0.
But they've beaten some impressive teams. But they've had some very impressive wins. Right, that game against the Lions. Yes, their defense was struggling, but the fact is that they won that game in an insane game, 48-45. That's an insane score. Right? Okay, they beat the Broncos. They beat the 49ers, which is an impressive win. Oh no, they lost to the 49ers. Am I correct? Yes. Right. So yes, they've had some impressive wins. The Cardinals win is super impressive, but I'm not sold on the Seahawks being even playoff contenders. And when I playoff contender, I mean like winning a playoff game. Like, yeah, you made the playoffs. The Ravens make the playoffs 8 out of 10 years. They constantly make, like, not really, not lately, but I'm saying, like, the Ravens make the playoffs almost every single year. And then they lose. And it's like, oh, that was so stupid. Like yeah, it was fun, but I was so much more happy when the Ravens missed the playoffs than when they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
I agree with you. I agree with that.
Missed the playoffs by one game on the craziest Hail Mary in the hit. Like, I don't care if you blew a 70-point lead and that's why you missed the playoffs. Bottom line is, you didn't lose in week one of the playoffs. To me, if you're a team that's like, you're a guaranteed loss in the first playoff spot, tank.
Only because you mentioned it, Meisty, I have to say my opinion on this. I've had this opinion for a while. I don't think it's worth it to root for an NFL team. Why? Because, think about it. Even if you have the best team, the Steelers-Patriots, who've won the most Super Bowls, right? You only win 10% of the time. So that means 90% of your seasons will end in disappointment. And that's only if you're the best. If you're the second or third best, you'll end in like 7%. You'll have like 93% of your seasons will end in disappointment.
What's your Patriots
at the end
fan?
Of the day, you will always be disappointed almost every single year. And not only
What's
that,
your Patriots fan?
That's what I said. Patriots, Steelers, fine. Even those teams, though, even the Patriots, if you look throughout the last 60 years, has been disappointed in 53 of those years, whatever it is, right? 54 of those years. 90% of the time, you're going to be disappointed. It's not worth it because it's stressful and people get very anxious when their team loses and it ruins their whole week, this, that. Odds are your team is not going to win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's just a reality check. Your team is not going to win the Super Bowl. They will every once in a while, but not very often. It's very, very difficult to win a Super Bowl in the NFL. So therefore, my opinion has always been that in terms of your mental well-being, to handle your stress and anxiety, it's not worth it to be an NFL.
So I'm going
to
counter. I know that this is leaning off topic, but I want to counter real quick. And this is why I want Lamar Jackson is one of my favorite players in the history of the NFL. This is why. And I'm not a big Lamar Jackson fan, okay? Lamar Jackson is the most exciting player to watch today. Every time he takes the ball, you have no clue if he's going to, like, throw a pick six, if he's going to throw a 90-yard bomb, if he's going to run it for 90. You have no clue what Lamar Jackson is going to do on any given play, okay? So to me, What you just said is correct. You're not going to win the Super Bowl, period. You're just not. No, you cannot enter the season. We're going to win. No, you're not.
Correct. Unrealistic. Unrealistic.
No. All 32 teams? No, you're not. Okay?
Right.
Literally, no one's going to win. So when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson who goes out there and wins football games when he was in 2019 or 2021 when he was winning the games, And he was so excited to watch, and every play he was doing something crazy or not doing or doing something absolutely what, like, you're just like hands over the head moments. Those were exciting, on your edge of your seat, constantly doing this. You're constantly let's going. That's exciting football. When your team is like hand it off, dump off, this, that, win a game, you end up like in the playoffs, winning your division, like cool. But did you win 15 games? Did your quarterback just, like, do some crazy hurdle over seven guys? No. But when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson who's so exciting, to me, I'll take this playoff. I'll take not winning the Super Bowl to have an exciting, a whole season of excitement.
Okay, fair enough. No, I'm willing to accept that. I'm just saying if you're looking at ultimately the goal of a Super Bowl, you'll always be disappointed. That's all I'm saying. But correct. I'm willing to take that assessment. Okay. So now let's,
I just want to say that was a very anti-football rant for a so-called football podcast. Can we say something nice about football?
Mm-mm. Football is like...
No, Morty. Sport. Morty, you don't understand. The reason I think... On the contrary, the reason I think that it's not worth it to be a fan of one NFL team... It's because the NFL is so entertaining to watch without being a fan of an NFL team. That is exactly my reasoning. Because you can sit there and watch. I don't care if the Ravens are playing on Sunday. I love watching Red Zone the whole day. I don't give a darn. Tonight, I'm going to watch Bears-Patriots. Because it's Bears-Patriots. This is beautiful. It's football. That's all I care about. You know? I just want to watch a good football. That's all I want.
That would be real with you. If the Bears and the Broncos were playing, unless it was Sunday night football, I'm not watching it. Period. I didn't watch Thursday night the other week, Thursday night football. Happened to have been busy with the holiday stuff, but other than that, I don't really care to watch the game. Morty was at my house.
If you're busy.
Stupid football.
Right.
It's like a bad NBA. It's like this. Greatest NBA game you can think of. Okay? Worst NFL game ever. There. That's where we're at. Right? Like, you wouldn't care. You would care. Do you care to watch the greatest NBA game? Eh, not really. Right? Do you care to watch Broncos-Texans? No. Mommy's...
If our option was Broncos-Texans or NBA Finals, I would take Broncos-Texans. And I'll say that I would say Broncos-Texans. And I'll say this. I'll say that if you're busy doing something, 100%, don't go out of your way to watch the Commanders.
Let me ask you another question.
But if you're doing nothing...
Let me ask you another one of these questions.
Okay.
Kobe's last game...
I didn't watch
breaking the record. The biggest fight in Bronx House history.
The latter.
guys, you want some breaking NFL news?
Oh no, what happened?
Breaking. Ian Rapoport reports the Jets are making a trade acquiring James Robinson from the Jags to replace Breece Hall.
I have James Robinson. Is that good? Wow. That's good. Is that right? That's good.
Crazy.
Is that good?
That's
for me?
Insane.
You tell me. You're what? The PFF analyst.
I just said that yesterday.
I don't know. Wait. Is James Robinson?
I just said this. I lost my mind. Yes.
What did they give up for him, Morty? Does he have? Do we have the details?
No details yet. It says draft pick compensation is going back to the Jags.
Okay, so well, if you get the details, we'll see you a little later. Mycy, I want that's very interesting. Thank you for telling me that, because I have James Robinson on my fantasy team, so that's the only reason I care about it. It's not impactful on the field whatsoever. Mycy, I wanted to say that if you're busy doing something, then I wouldn't necessarily watch Commanders Bears, but if you're not doing anything and you're bored, then that's what I'm like, sure, let's watch some football. You know what I'm saying? That's more. I wouldn't go out of my way, per se, to watch those types of games, but if I'm not doing anything, I would be happy to watch it, is my point.
All right, details.
It's
a Rocky. It's a conditional 6th round pick that can become a 5th rounder from the Jags.
Okay, no big deal. I'm not crying over Wolf over that. We'll talk about the CMC trade. I'll cry over Wolf over that one. So let's do one more thing. We're going to talk about who, Meisty, the most disappointing team in the league. And let me start with this, because there's no question in my mind, despite the record not being too awful, the most disappointing team in the league this year are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's got to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because at the end of the day...
Let me get on my chair, Rocky. Hold on. Let me sit down real quick. Hold on. Let me get back in my seat. There's... I lost my marbles for a second. Fantasy, 6 ways.
James Robinson, Tampa Bay. How'd you get to the Buccaneers? Where'd you go from point A to point Z?
I don't know where we're at.
Anyway,
so point... yes, disappointing teams. Let's do it.
Okay, the most disappointing team in the league, so there's no question, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the reason is they're 3-4. They're still tied atop the division with the Atlanta Falcons. But they're just not playing well. Now, last week was supposed to be a get-right game. They lose, and then all of a sudden they're going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have lost 3 straight. And then, like, Brady and the offense struggles, and, you know, there's a couple drop passes, a couple missed throws, and all of a sudden they lose to the Steelers. And then this week they get P.J. Walker turns into Tom Brady. I mean, all of a sudden, I think they switched, they swapped, whatchamacallit for a day, Meisty. They swapped, like, abilities for a day, because P.J. Walker looked way more like Tom Brady than Tom Brady did. Tom Brady looked like P.J. Walker. P.J. Walker looked like Tom Brady. All of a sudden, big throws left and right. The Panthers demolished the Bucs. And now the Bucs are sitting here under 500, and it doesn't make any sense. The Bucs have one of the best all-around rosters, if not the best all-around roster in football. Their defense, their secondary, is top 10 unit in the league. Their front seven is a top 10 unit in the league. They have Mike Evans, they have Chris Godwin, they have great receivers. Julio Jones they added this year. Tom Brady is still playing pretty well this year. It's just not gelling, Meisty. It doesn't make sense.
You said it right. You hit it on the nose.
They're not gelling.
No, with the Tom Brady, he's still playing well. Wait. And I'm cutting you off. Something else is wrong, right? So here's what my thought on the Bucs is.
Oh no.
Brady is still Brady, baby. And he if he needs I mean, I watched the end of the last game and he was throwing it into the ground. So if that's the situation, right? And that's only the part of the game I saw was the end. So if that was the situation where he was really doing that and but he still had 290 yards or 290 yards, right? I think. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think, and so in my understanding it's this, Brady's playing well, Mike Evans and Godwin need to stay healthy, the defense needs to step up, and everything will click, and in that division, easily they can still win the division. I mean, clearly, it's their division to lose, by the
they're
way.
They're still leading, they're still, even with their all the division. Struggles, they're still leading.
Correct, right. So there's no reason why they still don't come out on top of this division, and you get Brady in the playoffs? Brady? I mean, that's the most successful person in the playoffs, right? Period. So, I'll take, I'm not so worried. I'm not disappointed. I'm not, that was that's a disappointment. Yeah, not so much, but I can hear it because they're not playing well. But overall, it's not the worst situation for them to be in. And I also, just once again, looking at a schedule standpoint, they don't have an easy schedule. So, yes, they have stuff to worry about, but, you know, hey, and this week's against the Ravens, so let's see what happens. Can Tom Brady's fourth quarter abilities do anything? I don't know. We'll find out. But I'll give you a disappointing team, Rocky.
But I want to say I'm not worried about the Bucs either. I just want to interject and say
why
that.
Why are you not
but
worried about the Bucks?
I'm not worried about them because the roster is simply too good. And prior to the season, like, I'm looking at it right now, the numbers are not very good. You have the Bucks are the 10th ranked defense in the league this year, 14th best run blocking grade, 10th best pass blocking grade. That's okay, but we're talking about a Bucks team that should be top five in all these categories, Meisty. They have the talent on their roster in every aspect, in the secondary, in the front seven, receiving core. The quarterback is still playing well. The offensive line was a top five offensive line in the league last year. Now, Gadicke and a couple of those guys are struggling this year, but at the end of the day, they should be much better. So, yes, in a bad division with that much talent, give me a break. But I'm just saying, if you look at it for the first through the first 7 weeks of the season, it's underwhelming. The performance on the field is underwhelming. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. What? I'll give you a team, Rocky, here.
Yeah.
Although I said that they would struggle. Okay.
The Packers.
The Packers are struggling.
No.
And they're not just, I looked at it, they don't have one of the hardest schedules coming down the stretch to the rest of the season. I mean, none of it comes easy to them. The only easy game might be like the Bears, and not even, and the rest is division. So, and I don't count out any division games, even the Lions and the Bears are division. So that's like their easy game, you could say. But the Packers have no wins that were convincing. Aaron Rodgers is also, this is why I'm not worried about them, because they have Aaron Rodgers. But even with Aaron Rodgers, they don't make trades. They are the worst team when it comes to trading. So at the end of the day, they made a trade after the deadline one time, right? And it got canceled. They got vetoed. They're the only team to ever have a trade vetoed in the NFL history because they suck. Because they submitted it too late. The Orioles did it too, but whatever. Anyway, right. There you go. There's my comparison in management right there, right?
No, that's harsh.
Correct, right? So I'm not convinced with the Packers. They beat the Patriots without Mac Jones, or I think so. Yeah. So you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, that was super impressive. That's my one thing. The other question I have for you, Rocky, are we worried about the Las Vegas Raiders?
So I was gonna bring up the Raiders. I think in terms of the Packers, I'm more worried about them than the Bucks because they don't have any receivers. Now, I think what's actually more concerning for the Packers this year, I thought their defense is going to be one of the best defenses in football. I really did. Like, now Jaire Alexander started to play a little better over the last few weeks of the season. But he was the number one rated quarterback in the league just 2 years ago before he suffered from his injury. Maybe the injury's hurting him a little, I'm not sure. Rasul Douglas, Jaire Alexander, I'm like, man, that secondary is fantastic. The defense on paper looks like it's a top five defense. It hasn't been great. It's been average this year. And average is not enough when you don't have playmakers like that. Romeo Doubs has been underwhelming. I thought he was going to provide some sort of a spark. That hasn't been the case, Meisty. And like you said, the Packers don't make trades. I don't know if they have a choice. They're going to maybe put something together for DJ Moore. I don't know what it is. But I do think Chase Claypool is not the answer. They're not going to all of a sudden start, you know, winning games because of Chase Claypool. Like, if they start winning games, there could be other reasons. Claypool's good. No, Claypool's a talented guy that makes a lot of mistakes. You know, he's an up and down inconsistent player. That's really what Chase Claypool is. They need a big playmaker like DJ Moore. That'll make a big difference. But at the end of the day, I agree with you on the Packers. It's a little concerning. I'm still not willing to admit that they'll win the division yet, but I will say your call is looking pretty darn good. Your call is looking good. I went nuts on you before the season when you said the Vikings would win the division. And the crazy thing about the Vikings are that they actually could be better. They could be better. Like, they're struggling through some of these wins, and they're 5-1 right now. So the Vikings are looking pretty convincing over there. Now, the Raiders are disappointing only because the Chargers and the Broncos haven't, per se, started off the season the way we thought they would this season. So this could have been a window of opportunity for them, right? We were looking at them before the season and saying, well, the Raiders have a good team. Their defense is more middle of the pack. They now bring in Devontae Adams. Hunter Renfrow's all of a sudden had an emergence. And Derek Carr's been a top 10 quarterback for the most part for the last few years. But now the problem is Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Wilson, Mahomes, hurt. Forget about it, right? Odd man out is Derek Carr and those Raiders, right? But now all of a sudden, the Chargers, yes, 4-3, not looking so great, not looking as great as we thought they would. J.C. Jackson's injured now. You got different concerns. Like, the Broncos, just the offense looks completely out of whack.
So the
Raiders had a chance, but you start the season 1-4, Meisty. In that division, the Chargers are going to get hot. You just have to envision that to happen. The Chiefs are looking to be – their offense is still very prolific. Juju Smith-Schuster had a big game last night – had a big game yesterday. So at the end of the day, can they make up ground? I don't know if they could. If they would have come out one of the games, maybe.
Rocky, this is going to really disappoint you. Let me ask you something. How disappointed are you in the Lions? I mean, if this isn't the most Jared Goff type situation ever, where like, yo, you're playing so well for like four weeks, and then nothing, absolutely nothing to show, no defense, no offense. What have they been doing for the last 10 years? And it's not like they've had some big name busts. They have some good god darn players on their team. But they have a trashy management. They have a trashy fan. I'm just kidding. The fan base is one of the greatest fan bases I've ever met, by the way.
It's unbelievable.
I've never met a Lions fan who was angry. And you know why? Because they have patience. And they know, and they've been living with disappointment their whole lives. So Lions fans are the best people in the world.
Props to them. Props to them.
Not that we have any listening, but... But I'm not disappointed in the Lions. But like Lions, you guys got shut out by the Patriots. I mean, y'all just got rocked by the Cowboys. Y'all almost beat the Vikings. You almost beat the Eagles. You almost beat the Seahawks.
And that Cowboys game was a lot closer than it looked. The Cowboys game was a lot closer than it looked. I know the score ended 24-6, but they were down by 4 at the 1 yard line in the fourth quarter, and they fumbled at the goal line. Like, that game could have easily gone the other way. They were neck and neck. It was 6-3 at halftime. That game could have easily gone the other way. They've been competitive. What are we saying, Mike Kumai?
The bottom line is it says 24-6. And it don't matter what happened, it says 24-6.
True. No, that's my point. My point is no more moral victories. What do we say in week one? The Lions, is no, but the Eagles, they like sort of clawed back in the game and made it look close. They only lost by 3 in week one. And then we said, we don't care. We're not sympathizing with this team anymore. It's time to win a few games. And I'm granted, I'm not expecting them to win the division, but I am expecting them to get 6 wins here.
But
and they're 1-4.
Meaning
I didn't have such high expectations of the Lions. I still thought they were a lower echelon team. Right, correct. That's one of the things. Jared Goff is not – the problem with Jared Goff is he does some nice things. Way too many turnover-worthy plays, putting the ball in harm's way way too much. Mistakes left and right. He just like – sometimes he's like, oh, nice sustained drives. He's hitting his receivers. He's going through his reads. And then all of a sudden, what the heck was that? Why are you slinging the ball right to the cornerback? It makes no sense. So, right, that's sort of like what Tua did last night against the Steelers, right? I mean, similar type of thing. Now, he got lucky. The Steelers dropped all 4 interceptions. But at the end of the day, Jared Goff has also sort of had some turnover luck this year. And even with that, the Lions are 1-5. So,
would you say that Jared Goff is, if they were to get a different quarterback, would they be doing much better? Or is it, no, they're just still the Lions?
Define different quarterback. Who's the other quarterback?
Let's say they had Kirk Cousins. Let's say they even had Ryan Tannehill. Someone that's just consistently not great, but good. Someone that can throw the ball and not make silly mistakes, right? Now, I'm not talking about a Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen's. I'm talking about a guy that just doesn't make mistakes. Even a guy like Davis Mills, he doesn't make many mistakes, right? So
he doesn't. He doesn't, right?
So even if that Davis Mills, would that be a difference maker? Or is it just like, if there's a season, if there's any season in my lifetime that I'm in the history of my life, so 25 years, that I can remember that in that division, okay, that there is a chance for the Lions to actually do good, this is the year. You have a Packers struggle. You have the Vikings who can fall apart at any second. And you're nothing. You have nothing to show. Years of it. And like you said, no more synthesizing, not nothing, and you have to let it all for the Lions.
Yeah,
what
agreed,
are you
agreed.
Doing?
I think
instead of the catch Goff, get rid of the guy.
It could definitely look better if they had like a Kirk Cousins. I definitely think it could look better. I don't know if they'd be like a playoff team, but yeah, there's a lot of talent on the roster. It's more feasible. But one more team I want to highlight here, then we'll wrap it up with the with Lou Rocky's roll call. We'll talk about Christian McCaffrey. We'll wrap it up. The Broncos. Now the Broncos. We both said before the season, they're going under their 10 wins. They're going under their 10 wins. We both saw some overrated aspects in this roster. Thing is, the Broncos are one of the best defenses in football this year. Their defense is playing out of their minds. I mean, even yesterday against the Jets, you don't just look at the 16 points. The Jets couldn't get in the end zone, barely. I mean, teams cannot get in the end zone against them. They are really holding their own from top to bottom. But the offense looks awful. It just looks awful. from whether it's game management, whether it's in-game management, whether it's, you know, scheming receivers open despite talented receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, and all of a sudden Russell Wilson comes in here. Whether it's Russell Wilson's fault, whether it's the receiver's fault, whether it's the pass blocking, whether it's the running game, nothing's working, Meisty. Nothing's working in Denver. And even the two games that they won weren't pretty. I mean, we're seven games into the season this season. We haven't seen anything impressive from Denver yet. 7 games into the season, Meisty. Now, I'm willing to give them time to gel together. I'm willing to do that. But at what point do we say this is not working? At what point do we say that? That's what I want to know. Because right now, it's 7 games. They don't look good.
And I'll tell you this. It ain't working, period. All right? Once they switch to quarterback, it ain't working. As Gershon said before, right, Russell Wilson was a problem. He is a problem. I've heard, like, crazy things about him, from his old Seahawks teammates about him, where, like, how so disconnected from the team Russell Wilson actually is, and that he's never actually part of the team. Do you know that no one on the Seahawks ever really had his personal cell phone number? If you wanted to reach him, you had to call his agent to reach him. I mean, right? I mean, come on. Listen, I'm all for it. I'm all for, like, being a star, but, like, come on, right? What are we doing? So, right, that's where Russell Wilson holds himself. And if you don't, he ain't playing like that. He never played like that. He never was that. His defense in Seattle let him carry him all the way. This year alone, right, outside the 32 points that they gave up to the Raiders, they have never allowed any other game over 20 points. 16 to the Jets, 19 to the Chargers, 12 to the Colts, 10 to the 49ers, and they beat them, 9 to the Texans, and 17 to the Seahawks. So you're talking about teams that score points more than scoring. So, yes, you're correct. The Broncos' defense is insane. That just shows you how darn awful that offense is. Do you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, the 2000 Ravens when, like, they were such a good defense. And I was like, but the Ravens, I would take the Ravens offense with Trent Dilfer over Russell Wilson 99 out of 99 times.
Well, the Ravens had a good running game. The Broncos' running game just isn't working.
I just said, I'll take Trent Dilfer and that receiving core than Russell Wilson acting right now. The bottom line is, okay, that's not true, because I started thinking about all the receivers for the Broncos, and I'm like,
never mind.
You're not wrong. But give me Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl winning quarterback, over Russell Wilson, who's not a really Super Bowl winning quarterback because his defense carried him. So did Trent Dilfer, but so what? We're not going to talk about it.
All right, so let's move on and wrap it up here with our last couple of segments, and we'll start, of course, first time in 5 weeks, guys. Let's go ahead and do Rocky's roll call. So we're going to highlight the best player from this week. And it's obvious this week, Meisty. It's obvious. It's glaring. It's glaringly obvious. You look at the stat sheet and you're like, he just led in every single category. Joey freaking Burrow is getting Rocky's roll call this week. And, you know, you think, well, Joe Burrow is probably going to get it a few times. No, I would not have given it to him at any point this season yet. 481 yards, 3 touchdowns, 138.2 passer rating, PFF passing grade over 90. The man was tearing it up. Probably the best performance from any quarterback this week. Mahomes was also great, but we'll probably get more opportunities for him. Burrow, the way he's playing this year, I don't know. I don't know yet. Maybe we will. But there's no question Joe Burrow nearly getting to 500 yards, just tearing up that Falcons. But two receivers over 100 yards receiving in that Bengals passing game. I mean, Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, tearing it up. Joe Burrow getting Rocky's roll call this week. I don't even think it's a question, Meisty.
All right. I got a name for you this week that I was really into. And as we speak about him, I'm picking him up in fantasy. Oh, he's on my team already. See, he didn't have to do anything. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say it like this. George Pickens, to me, okay, although the Steelers lost, his numbers overall this season have been insane. The fact that they don't just throw to him every single down like the Ravens should be doing with Mark Andrews is insane, okay? George Pickens last night was 6 for 6, 61 yards and a touchdown. Every single one of his 6 catches went for over 10 yards, obviously, on average. Almost, I think only one of them was like a 4 or 5 yard pass. So literally all of them were going actual deep. He had a 30-yard insane catch.
That was insane.
Dude, he's got insane hands. His touchdown catch was beautiful.
Beauty.
The guy's clear talent.
I don't know how he fell this far.
We were the Ravens. Hi. Nope, nowhere to be seen. So, in my opinion, this is the man, and I'll give him the Rocky roll call of the week because he showed up for his team. He was 6-for-6. He did his job. He scored the touchdown for them. Yes, they didn't win the game, but how much more can a guy do if his quarterback is Kenny Pickett? So,
no, I like the George Pickens one. It begs the question, why is the Steelers offense struggling so much? I mean, you have Deontay Johnson, you have George Pickens, you have Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, so many playmakers there, and yet the offense has been very slow throughout the first 7 weeks of the season. I'm not saying Pickett's been doing a couple nice things, but it's just the end of the game, you know, some really costly turnovers in the last couple of weeks. That's really what it comes down to. It's not when it comes to the underneath stuff, the short range, the 5 to 10 yards, he's hitting everything, Meisty. But when he needs to make a play, he just hasn't been there yet. It's rookie mistakes.
Let me say this about the Steelers. This week, at least the excuse I can say for this, the most inconsistent, best defense in the league. The Miami Dolphins.
It's weird, right?
It's right? Very like, weird. Like they'll shut the Bills down, but drop like 75 points to the freaking Jaguars. Like, who? What? What are we doing?
Right.
So, that's definitely a reason. But once again, the Steelers being 2-5, yes, it's not. But they don't know what to do at quarterback. They don't have a quarterback. They're in a tough division. They have to figure it out. I'm not worried about the Steelers. The Steelers are a franchise of a team. Right, their coach is one of the best coaches in history. Their team is one of the best teams in history. The Steelers will obviously figure it out.
I agree. In the Tomlin era, the Steelers have yet to have a losing record since 2005, I believe. Yeah. So this might be the first season, but I guess we'll see. Not 2005, 2006, maybe one of those years. Anyway, so do you guys want to talk about? It's already Monday Night Football starting as we speak. Do you guys want to talk about CMC now, or should we do
yes.
it later? Talk about. Let's talk about it now.
Talk about.
All right. So if anyone does not know, Christian McCaffrey was acquired by the San Francisco 49ers for a second round pick, a third round pick, a fourth round pick. That's right. There's more. And a fifth round pick. And not only that, but over the next 3 years, McCaffrey will cost the Niners about $12 million. It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed money, but he's due $12 million in each of the next 3 years. This year it won't cost them much. The next 3 years it will cost them. The Panthers were looking to get rid of this man's contract. They were. That's straight up what it was. And in the process of getting rid of his contract, they got incredible draft capital. Second, third, and fourth, and fifth round pick. Four picks for getting rid of a player's contract, Meisty. I mean, this is remarkable. The Panthers are a bunch of geniuses. Either that or the Niners are a bunch of idiots, because I think it's a bit of a desperation move by the Niners. I'm not going to lie. I think the Niners are like, oh, maybe we can make some hay this year. You know, division struggling a little. Cardinals don't look very good, as we discussed. Geno Smith is coming in here. Maybe he's a backup quarterback. He'll go back to his backup quarterback ways. Maybe we can take the division this year. Maybe we have a chance this year. So Christian McCaffrey is your solution? Christian McCaffrey. The last 2 years, the 49ers have spent three draft picks on running backs. Three draft picks. That is Trey Sermon, Eli Mitchell, and the player they drafted this year. I forgot what his name is. They drafted him in the third round. They drafted a running back in the third round this year. Yeah, three draft picks.
Seven draft picks on running backs in the last 3 years.
And three draft picks on running backs in the last...
Seven. Now with Christian McCaffrey. That's four more.
Right. Oh, yeah, seven. I like that. Right. Yes, exactly. And by the way, guess who their star... Until they acquired McCaffrey, guess who their starting running back was? A guy they signed as an undrafted free agent in 2018, Jeff Wilson, who is their leading running back this year. I'm just saying... And not only that, Deebo Samuel has 24 carries this year. He had 59 carries last year. He's clearly a big part of that running game, right? So they already investing $20 million into a hybrid wide receiver running back. Great player, but he's a hybrid wide receiver running back. They invested a pretty good draft. Two third round. You spent both your third round picks in the last 2 years on running backs. That's high draft capital. And the player you're starting with the undrafted free agent. What does that tell you? You don't need to spend so much on a running back. Don't worry about it. Kyle Shanahan's creative. He gets everyone involved. Look what he does with Juszczyk. He uses him as like a tight end fullback. Ayuk all of a sudden. 1 week it's Ayuk getting big numbers. 1 week it's Kittle getting big numbers. 1 week it's Deebo Samuel. What do you need to add Christian McCaffrey into this offense for? I don't understand it. This is your solution? To give up that much draft capital? To now lock yourself into that contract with a very talented player? Very talented player. But at what cost? At what cost are you going to take a play that's not really going to add that much value to your team?
I rank this trade as probably top 5 worst trades of all time, period. The reason for that is he's not the answer. He's not going to be the difference maker. That's not your issue. If you said to me at the end of the season, the 49ers will have 6 wins, I would say probably.
Not the craziest thing. Not the craziest thing.
I just looked at their schedule. Not the craziest thing.
Is it really that tough schedule?
It's not that it's tough. Just off the bat. Off the bat like this. Right? So this week, let's pull it up. This week, they play the Rams. And they play the Chargers, Cardinals, Saints, Dolphins, Bucks, Seahawks, Commanders, Raiders, Cardinals.
It's not too bad.
It's not horrible.
Right.
But it ain't the best schedule you'll want to look forward
to.
No,
it ain't the best.
Right? I mean, yeah, the Commanders is nice. It's nice to be able to see the Bucks now on your schedule with the struggles. It's nice to see maybe the Saints on your
schedule. It still ain't nice to see the Bucks on your schedule.
It's nice to see your Bucks on the schedule, I know. But outside that, so there's 3 games that like, oh, that's nice to see. Yeah, go win those games. Go win some other games and we'll talk. I don't think so. They're struggling. They're a struggling team. There's mightily issues on that team somewhere. I think it's all from the coaching staff. I know he's one of the best coaches out there, but I think there's a struggle with him. I think that he's something just not, they're not the right pieces are together. I think that all those players are very incredible pieces. Jimmy Garoppolo is an incredible asset to the team. I think even Deebo Samuel to a different team could be a huge asset. Christian McCaffrey, maybe he fits in there, but he doesn't put the piece as, and I know Morty had the best saying of it all. That was two sides of the same coin, of a different coin, same coin, whatever you said. That was
great point.
That's how it is, right? Yeah, shout out Morty.
Was a great point. That was a great point. McCaffrey's also like splits out wide, plays receiver a lot, you know. So he's like he's a running back that plays receiver, and Deebo Samuel's a receiver that plays running back.
It's not the answer.
They're not gonna win. They're not gonna win and make the playoffs because of Christian McCaffrey. It's just.
And by the way, the real reason I think they did it was because of the team they were in a bidding war with it. That was the Rams, and the last team. I don't think that's the answer for the Rams either, by the way.
No, it's good. They were smart to stay out of that.
Because they only were willing to give up a second, third, and fourth.
The Eagles were also interested in the trade.
That's it. That is what did it. So that's what did it. A fifth-round pick did it.
Agreed.
So, at the end of the day, right? Yeah, I think the 49ers were willing to go all out to stop the Rams. And they do get better. You can't sit here and say the Rams aren't a better team now with a healthy Christian McCaffrey. They are clearly a better team. Yeah. Oh, well, we lost to the Chiefs. No, everyone's losing to the Chiefs.
Yeah, right? That's not a big deal.
Like that, I'm not worried. How about let's go beat the Rams next week? Go to the struggling Chargers. Go beat the Cardinals who are... There's no one... There's not a single team that they're playing, by the way, with a winning record besides with like a 5-2 record. Everyone they play is a 3-4 or a 4-3 record right now. There is like all even. So let's go out there and win some games if you're the 49ers. I'm disappointed in them. I think that they could be so much better than this. What type of trade was that? It's not helping you. You gave up your future. You're giving up tons of money. And it was for a guy who gets hurt every single year.
Yeah.
If he gets hurt, now they have no picks, no running back, and then what? You think if he gets hurt again, he's coming back next year? Yeah, right. If he has another season career and a season-ending injury, he's going to play next year. Yeah, okay. Good luck.
And he's playing at a position that is very injury-prone. The average career span for a running back is 2.57 years. So, obviously, it's the lowest by far in the league. So, and obviously, the running backs don't last very long to begin with. It's a running back, so you're very dependent on your offensive line, as we always discuss. So, yes. Are the Niners a better team? Of course they're a better team. But better to the point that it was worth all this? No. And we all seem to, in unison, we seem to agree with that. With that being said, 8:22 your time, right? 8:22 your time. All right. We're not going to be running this time because it's Bears-Patriots, but I'm still saying, right, week four, and we
ran out.
Ran out. Maybe who's next week? Oh, Browns-Bengals. That's pretty good. Okay, Browns-Bengals. Maybe we'll run out next week. But I'm coming to your side of town, Meisty. Maybe we'll have, do it in person. Maybe not. I'm not to get everyone excited. I know those are generally our most popular podcast, although I don't know why that is the case. Beautiful layout we have here. I don't know why. You think that should be the case. That doesn't make any sense, but anyway.
Yeah, no, this is a spot that we can always...
Ooh, that's the Rocky and Meister Studio right there.
Yes.
There it is. Next week, Rocky and Meister Studio. We'll see you. Anyway.
I don't know what his insurance company is, but brought to you by his insurance company.
Whatever insurance... brought to you by that insurance company.
The insurance company studio.
like the insurance company studio. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Remember to follow, subscribe, Spotify, YouTube, and all that great stuff. Have a great day.